Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles. 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29, Old Testament, okay? While you're turning there, it is good to be back. How many of you were here last year? I know you raised your hand earlier, but a lot of you. How many of you have never seen me before in your life until today? Good. All right, you're not missing anything. Don't worry. Brother Donald and I were great friends until he did not make me the best man at his wedding, and that's been a problem ever since. But you understand, you know, that's a big deal, and I don't know why he thought his dad should be his best man, you know. So, but it's good to see a lot of you guys. Trying to think. Eddie, I know you. I know Eddie. Eddie's ready. Hey, Eddie, by the way, your mom told me to ask you if you had a quarter. If a quarter, I could use one a little bit later. And then Garrett's laughing. That's dangerous when the younger brother starts laughing. And then Juan, right? Juan is the man. Juan's sitting right down here, and he's like got the attention of the whole audience. Nobody's even paying attention to me right now. Earlier, he's like, it's hot. And I was like, well, yeah, you've got like a Persian rug on top of your head. Of course it's hot, you know. He's got the coolest hair in the room. Sorry, ladies. How many of you ladies like Juan? Nobody? Well, I call him Juan. Because that's what I call him. Because if he were Juan, ladies, he could be the one for you. You know what I'm saying? You said he could be the one that you want. You know, that kind of thing. So there should be only one, by the way. So it's all good. And then, ladies, good to see you, Abby. Smiling as usual. Does Abby smile a lot, Pastor Donald?
No.
Whoa, you guys are so mean. She's great. She smiles every time I see her. She smiles. No, Abby's incredible. And then you were here last year, and then you were there. You were here last year. You were there. Yeah, you were. You know what I'm. You were here last year, and this year we have the Brown brothers, Aaron and her. I mean, Ben. What is it, Ben? Really?
Yes, Ben.
Ben her.
Ian.
Okay, I don't know. Ian. But see, the problem was the snake, the serpent. No, the swords, the flaming swords. I don't get it. It has nothing to do.
This is
swords
flame.
Don't do this. Swords don't do this. Flaming ones do? Okay, all right, whatever. But then you guys have got to tell me. SSS, triple S. Like I've heard three different things. Servants, Brother Ian?
Servants, of course.
Is it like serving servants and serve? Servants saving souls. I mean, you could be like, you could own them. You could be like, we're swords, swords, swords. You know, you could be like three times what they are. But you're winning. Who's winning, by the way? Is this side winning? Am I allowed to give points away?
Yes.
I am?
Yeah.
Then you guys need to get excited because I'm going to give some points away tonight.
There you go.
Oh, Juan, calm it down over here. The ladies are going to think differently of you, man. Avion, Juan, my friend here. Last year you had a broken arm, right? Has anyone broken a bone, collarbone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were just like this. You were like, you couldn't get in the hot tub because you were just like, you could only get in up to here. Hey, guys, how's it going? I remember that. You broken a bone since last year?
Yeah, I've broken a lot of bones.
A lot of bones. Were they your bones or did you like break other people's bones?
He broke
your bone. Okay. All right. And you broke a bone?
He broke his snowboarding.
Snowboarding. That's dangerous. I love snowboarding, though. You broke something?
The
whole side? Oh, my goodness, man. Wow. Wow. Incredible. Then Tristan, I was there when Tristan preached his first message. I love it, man. Yes, we know. That's because he's wiser than you. He's bigger than you, too. He's going to kill you later, I think. But yeah, I was there, and he actually preached his first message at my church. It's pretty incredible. Right after camp. Was that last year? That was last year you guys came through. You stayed in the church. Remember that, Miss Hazel? Oh, my goodness. Man, that was incredible. We found all kinds of crazy stuff after you guys left. I mean, there were like goldfish everywhere, the little edible kinds. I think you guys got into the nursery goldfish, the nursery snack stash, didn't you? Something like that. Who stayed in the nursery? Who stayed in the nursery when you were at my church? All right, we didn't tell you this, but we had a rat problem before you got there. And the toys were talking. We have nursery toys that in the middle of the night would just be like, Eddie! Eddie! We taught them your name before. I'm surprised that's all that happened, but it's all good. So it's good to, yeah, it is creepy. That was the point. It is creepy. Good. Thank you. Appreciate that. And you have a loud voice. You have a very loud voice. I thought it was the girl behind you that, like, but it's spirit. I mean, it's like pump. Thank you, right there. It's pump. I know, man. Woo! Right over, man. So spirit. So we have the triple S's. I thought we were like talking about triple S camp, but then we were talking about servants saving souls. That's right. Amen. That's spiritual. And then the flaming swords. That looks like a fish upside down. After you catch a fish turned upside down, the tail just does this. So it, I pressed it. Yeah, we're getting all of this. Don't worry, we're recording all of this. So we've been recording for 7 minutes. I've said nothing. Let's take our Bibles. And I don't know if you're going to want these on recording later, because we are going to have a good time this week. I'm glad you're here. The crowd has grown. Were you here last year? The guy who held his legs up the longest? You weren't here last year. It's good to meet you. You were in Arkansas. That's not how you pronounce it. But Arkansas. I know it's how it's written, but it's kind of like I can't think of another word right now. But yeah, Arkansas. So that's cool. But good to meet you. I thought the guy over here had it. I thought you had it, man. But then you started doing this. Contest over.
Like, it's gonna blow. Like, as soon as he released, he fell.
Do you feel better now? Good. Okay. Good.
Thank you.
I love it. You guys are great. When I'm at my home church and I talk to my teenagers, it's kind of what I do. So you just have to understand. I do it because I love you. All right. Not too much, Eddie. Not too much. But and Drake. Good to meet Drake. Looking sharp tonight. He's dressed up. The guy can throw a football. Did you know that a Drake is a male duck? And he can make duck sounds. He can scream. He can make duck sounds. It's amazing. I just wanted to make sure we all knew that, because we're getting everything out in the open tonight, okay? And Jesse headed off to college. Woo, man. That means you're smart. Smarter than all these people right here. That's not what it means?
Nah, Jesse ain't smart.
Ah, come on. Jesse's a great guy. I'm very proud of Jesse. I don't even know him, but I'm proud of him. By the way, I've never played the piano before until tonight. Yeah, I played the piano before. Yeah, last year, but I haven't played since last year. So Brother Donald just said, hey, by the way, you're the pianist for the week. So if I hit a clunker, it's not my fault. Pastor Donald said, you were listening over here. You're going, what is that guy doing on the piano? I know. She's looking at me like I'm strange. I am. It's okay. But yeah, we've already had a good time. What time did you guys get here? About noon today?
Yes.
You guys got here about noon today? So you've been involved in you've had two meals. You've had two meals. By the way, the tacos were great. I didn't get the other meal. I'm sure it was fantastic. You guys are staying in tents tonight, and I heard thunder, so it's going to be awesome. Have you guys ever camped out in the rain before? Anybody ever camped out? Oh, come on. It's the thing to do. If it starts raining out here tonight, I won't go out there because I have a microphone on. I shouldn't get wet. But, man, just enjoy it. We're supposed to play two boars after the service, something like that. So, tube tug. So thank you for correcting me. Next time you should respect your elders. I'm up here talking. Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate that. But we're going to play tube tug. I love you, Eddie. Not too much, but I love you. So we're going to do that after the service. But we got a few minutes tonight, and I want us to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want you to look at verse 1. We're going to start off the evening tonight with a message I think the Lord would have me to preach, and I appreciate Pastor Donald. By the way, man, I am so glad Pastor Donald can talk. Because I was worried about him this year. He was worried. He would call me. And I remember the day he called me this year and he said, bro, this is the last time I'll talk to you for weeks.
Amen.
And no. not loudly, not too loud. But we're so glad he's got his voice back. It's strong. It's rich. It's that baritone, low tones, you know. Actually, he sings tenor, man. He's an incredible tenor. And I love it. I'm glad that he's got his voice back. I really did pray for that a lot. So glad that he can talk to you. But I will say, he can probably preach a better silent message than anyone I know. How many were there for the silent message? Wow, man, I read all the slides later. I got saved twice. All kinds of things happen. So it was great. All right, let's look in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. If you're there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, good.
Hallelujah.
Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And I like this part of the verse. We have to take note about this. It says, and he did that which was
right.
He did that which was, what's the next word? right in the sight of the Lord. Now, some people did that which was right in their own eyes, but not Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. Now, David's a pretty good guy. David was a man after God's own heart. David, the guy who killed Goliath, he's got all kinds of wonderful things about him. And the Bible compares Hezekiah to David. Let's just agree tonight on this. Let's see if we can agree on this. It's good to be compared to a Bible character in the Bible who is a friend of God or a man after God's own heart. That's a positive thing. So that's what Hezekiah's got going for him. Now here's what he did. Look in verse 3. Let's follow along tonight. You guys are doing great so far. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, I mean, we're talking about the crown had barely settled on his head, and he gets to work. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. I'm going to tell you what happened to the house of the Lord in those days. The Bible says that they had shut up the doors. That means they had basically condemned the temple. It was not fit to walk into. It was filthy on the inside. They had desecrated the temple. People before Hezekiah had lived ungodly, filthy, unholy lifestyles, and they had taken their lifestyle into the house of God. And the Bible says that the temple was shut up. There was a light that was a fire that was always supposed to be burning in the temple. It was representative of the presence and power of God. And that had gone out, and it was never supposed to go out. The priest was always supposed to feed that fire and keep it alive all the time. It was never supposed to go out, but all the fire had gone out. They shut up the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps in verse 7, and they had not burned any incense or burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. And the Bible says in verse 8, look at verse 8. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. That's a very biblical way of saying that God was angry. His wrath was against them, was upon them. And he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. Hezekiah is talking about this. He says, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. For what? What was he talking about? Because they had neglected the house of the Lord. They had neglected the temple, which meant they had no relationship with God any longer. If it had been in modern days, it would have meant that they had let their devotional life go to waste. They stopped attending church. They basically thought that, hey, it's not worth it. It's no big deal. I can live like I want. And the Bible says that Hezekiah said, we were in captivity because of this. This is in the first year, in the first month of him being king. Most people, when they become the king, they want to like impress everybody. They want to be really nice, get everybody on their side so they'll follow him. Hezekiah just said, man, we're in a mess. And he called sin what it was. Then in verse 10, it says, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. Can we do a little bit of a study tonight before I start really preaching to you? He said, it was in my heart. Now look this way. If you have a desire to do something for God, and I hope you do. If you don't, I hope that this camp out helps give you a desire to serve God. Some of you have been in church because your parents raised you in church. Literally, that's my story. I was raised in church. I mean, within 6 days of being born, I was not in the back pew. I was in the nursery. My parents were those kind of parents, and my wife doesn't even do that. She like keeps our kids with her until they get so old. But they just dropped me off at the nursery door, like 6 days old. As soon as we got out of the hospital, man, we were back in church. Some of you, that's your story. You've got church in your background. Others of you, I think Drake, you're one. Maybe you've been saved for a while, but hadn't been in church as much. You know what? You've got just as much potential for God as anyone else. Amen. But the thing about it is, whether you've been raised in church, whether you've been given that privilege, and it is a privilege to be raised in a Christian home, and that's great, or maybe you say, well, I just come to church because someone invited me, picked me up on a bus, I just do this because it's fun, or someone cared enough about me to invite me, and I don't have that kind of story, but I still want God to do something with my life. God can use any type of person. Hezekiah here, 25 years old, he said this, it was in my heart. It wasn't because his parents told him to do it that way. It wasn't because it was popular, because it wasn't popular. As a matter of fact, his history was that everyone in previous generations had done sinfully. It wasn't because it was just the cool thing to do. It wasn't because it was easy to do. It was because it was in his heart. That's the thing tonight. If it's in your heart to do something for God and to be used of God and to let God do something with you, it can be done. That's what's exciting about God. He's not a respecter of persons. Now, that's not to say he doesn't have respect. We shouldn't have respect for persons. Well, God doesn't respect people, so I won't either. That's not what the Bible says, okay? You guys can't use that against your parents or Pastor Don or Miss Marissa later on. You can't do that, okay? But what it means is that God looks at one person with one story and another person with another story and says, I don't care what your background is, as long as your heart is right. Hezekiah, listen. It was in his heart. You can come to camp. You can go to church. You can be involved or as much as you want. But if it's not in your heart to do something for God, thank you for the water. If it's not in your heart to do something for God, I've got a prediction about you. You won't do anything for Him.
Right.
It was in his heart. He said it. He's talking to his people now. This is kind of like the youth pastor talking to his youth group. And he's telling them this. He says, listen, the house of the Lord has been shut up. We've shut up the doors of the porch. We've turned out the lights in the temple. The presence and power of God is out of here. It's nowhere to be found. And we've got to get it back. And he said, so it's in my heart to make a covenant. What does that mean? To make a promise with God. To make almost a deal with God. Not a, I'll do this if you'll do this, God. But a one-sided deal in a way. To say, God, I want to make a covenant with you that if we get things right and if we stay right and if we live for God and if we do things the way that God wants them done, that you'll bless us and you'll restore us to what we need to be. Hezekiah was about to usher in a revival. Essentially, Brother Donald, that's what we're looking for. That's what the workers would like to see. It's one thing to be excited. It's one thing to be pumped up. Brother Aaron is like America's youth pastor over here, just pumping you guys up, man. The sword, the flaming sword. And it doesn't matter what would happen, he'd be excited about it. And the triple S's, you guys are pretty pumped too, I think. I think the triple S's should just do like three S's. 1, 2, 3. All right, I'm not getting any votes. Never mind, I'm going to come over and talk to you guys. I'm cheering from them for now on. But it's one thing to be excited. I'm just kidding. Don't get too excited, okay? It's one thing to be excited. It's another thing to have revival. Because I can go to a ball game and get excited, but that doesn't mean I had a revival. Now, if the Kentucky Wildcats, which is my team, would win the championship, we might have revival. I don't know. Or if the 49ers would win a Super Bowl, that's my football team. So that would, something crazy would have to happen there. Right, Juan? Avian, sorry. But there's something different about it. Hezekiah said, it's in my heart. I have to say something else about this. This is all foundational. I'm really just taking some time to get to know everybody tonight and talk to everybody, and let's really just kind of settle into this tonight. Let's not wait until later on. Here's the thing. If you do have a desire, if you have a desire to be a phenomenal Christian, by that I mean you just want to be close to God. And if you have a desire to be someday, men, a godly father, godly husband, ladies, a godly mother, godly wife. And if that's in you, and if you think about that even a little bit, you know something that I did about a week ago that I thought it was almost like the Lord led me to do it. And after I did it, I thought, this is great. I just talked to God for a while and told Him everything I wanted to be, everything I wanted to do, everything I wanted to be known for. I told God I wanted to be known for that father, to be the father that was that raised his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that has a relationship with his children all the way on up. I wanted to be the pastor that loved his people, that prayed for his people, that went out soul winning and won people to Christ. And when one of his flock was off doing the wrong thing, he was going out and trying to reach that person again and restore that. I told God I wanted to do that. And it hit me while I was praying that God put that in my heart. Well, you think about it, the devil didn't put it there. If you got a desire to do something for God, God put it there. Because if you have a desire to do something for God, I've got to give you some almost bad news. You're very weird. Because the world doesn't want to do that. If you told someone out in the world who was unsaved or maybe away from God or just whatever, and they didn't care about all this church stuff, and you said, yeah, someday you're a guy, and you say, someday I want to be a pastor, they'd go, really? Is there a lot of money in that? No. Yeah, I want to be a youth pastor. I want to go hang out with sweaty, smelly junior hires all the time. Sorry, junior hires. That's what I want to do. Okay. They would think you're weird. So if you have that desire, it's funny, the brothers back here, you both have a desire to pastor. I had that same desire. That's strange. That's by the world standards, that doesn't make sense. But God put it in there. And Hezekiah said, I have it in my heart to make a covenant with God. And then I want you to see this. Look at the next verse. Let's look at verse 10 again. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Here it is in verse 11. Look at this. My sons. He's talking to everybody now. My sons, be not now negligent. What that means is do not procrastinate. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't wait any longer. Don't put it off a day longer. Be not now negligent. Don't wait any longer. Here's what it says. For the Lord hath chosen you. Oh, wait. Teenagers tonight. Listen to that phrase again. For the Lord hath chosen you. You and 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 you. Everyone in this room. It's not a room, but everyone in this tabernacle. God has chosen you to do something. What that means is, we've talked about having a desire in our heart. What that means is that if we have the desire to serve God and we don't necessarily know exactly how we're going to serve Him, we don't know exactly what it's going to be like, we don't know where it's going to be, we don't know what it's going to sound like, we don't know what it's going to look like, we don't know if we're going to even like the food that they have at that particular place that we serve God, it doesn't matter because God's chosen you. It means that He has a plan for you beyond what you can see. The Lord hath chosen you. The king had it in his heart, and God had chosen him for this time. And because God has the authority and ability to look down and say, Avian, listen, I have something that for your life that I want you to do. And Abby, I have something for your life that I want you to do. God says this. And Tristan, there's something I want you to do with your life, and I want to lead, guide, and direct you in that way. God can do that because God is the one who gets to pick and choose. God gets to decide. If you could hear the testimonies of all these workers in the back here, some of them would be, you'd go, okay, I've heard that before. Others, you'd probably go, they used to what? They used to be where? They have that testimony? Because what happened is God said, I have a plan for their life. And though they didn't know it, God was leading them to where they are today. And that's what God's doing here. We're not here by accident. Hey, you're not here by accident. None of us here are here because God said, oops, oh man, I didn't mean to let her come. And there goes a rat right there. That happened to me once before. God let that rat run right through here to wake you up. That's what happened. You should never bring attention to a rat when talking to a bunch of teenagers. I don't know why I just did that. But anyway, now you guys are listening. God may choose for that rat to come back and devour you all. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord hath chosen you. The Lord hath chosen you to do something. So it's in your heart. God has chosen you. Now, what has He chosen us to do? Here it is. Simple. Look at this. For the Lord hath chosen you, verse number 11, to stand before Him. To stand before Him. Look this way. You can write that down, but then I want you to look this way. What does it mean? What does it mean to stand before God? Hezekiah is the king. Hezekiah is the king over Judah and Jerusalem. And he is telling these people that God has chosen you to do what? To stand before Him. What are we chosen to do? Everybody help me tonight. Say it with me. We are chosen to stand before Him. Very good. To stand before Him. What does it mean to stand before God? It simply means this. You can't be in the presence or family of God, if you will. You can't stand before God unless you do a couple things. Number one, tonight, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. You see, here's the thing. The Bible says that there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is who He said He was all along. Everyone will confess that, but that involves two groups of people. One group will be those who are destined for an eternal separation in a lake of fire. Why? Because they never received Christ. The other group is a group of people who understood that they needed Christ to redeem them from their sins. So they, at a certain time in their life, said, God, I invite you into my heart and into my life to save me from my sin, to pay the penalty of my sin. And because of that, if you've received Christ today, you know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. But look, if you're here tonight, you have to understand, listen, if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot stand before Him like we're talking about. Second thing you have to be able to do to stand before Him, and this is literally now more what it means, you just have to make yourself available. You have to be surrendered. When the king looks around and says, oh boy, I need someone to do this for me, where are you? When God looks around and says, boy, I have something that I want someone to do, and I'm looking for someone, and I want to choose that person from this camp out experience right here, and he looks down for that individual and says, oh, they didn't come. Now you came, but the one that I was going to choose for this didn't come. God looks down and sees each and every one of you, and what we have to be willing to do is to stand before God. It means we have to make ourselves available. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like looking at God and saying, hey, anything you need? Can I do it? Can I? Okay, what? You want me to go do this? All right, I'll go do it. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord had chosen you to stand before Him. What has God chosen us to do? To stand before Him. Then look at the rest of the verse. It says, and to serve Him. What does it say to do? We are to serve Him. Now, listen, this particular year at our church, our theme is, I will serve thee. Our theme verse is found in John chapter 12, where Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Here's the thing, you cannot serve God, you cannot be a servant to the Almighty, you cannot be a servant seeking after souls, or whatever the triple S thing is. You can't be that if you're not willing to get in there and get busy doing what God wants you to do. You have to be yielded, you have to stand before Him first, and then you have to receive your assignment, and God says everyone is to be a servant. If any man serve me, let him follow me. So if we're going to follow God, we have to be willing to go where He's gone. To be where He is, we have to be willing to open our Bibles. We have to be willing to get on our knees. We have to be willing to have a devotional life. We have to be willing to listen to whatever He says. But then it says this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Then it says this, the second part of the verse, if any man serve me, him will my Father, God, honor. Now here's the deal. Have you ever seen, perhaps you watched the NBA finals this year? Who watched the finals? And who watched LeBron go down in flames like I did? And who loved every minute of it? Come on. All right, good. And Steph Curry, man, that guy is awesome. Man, he can shoot from anywhere. He can shoot the lights out. And then Andre Iguodala, he gets the MVP award. Iggy, that's what they call him, I guess. Iggy, man. He's out there. He's coming off the bench. And finally, they're like, we got to start this guy. And everybody's like, yeah, you do. And at the end of the finals, they win the finals. They give this guy an award, they honor him. Why? Not because he just showed up and looked pretty. What if he just walked out and was like, hey guys, I'm here! And that was all he did. Would they have given him an award? No, absolutely not. But because, if you think of it this way, because he served his team, because he served the Golden State Warriors, he was honored. Here's what the Bible says. If any man serve me, Jesus, serve Jesus, him will my Father honor. You get to be rewarded for your service. Not only that, God saved you, if you're saved tonight, so that you can serve Him. We've already talked about God having a plan for your life, God having something for every single one. And by the way, there's probably one or two people here tonight who are thinking, yeah, right, Pastor Steve. There is no way God has anything. God doesn't care about me. He does care about you. And I'm going to do as much as I can between now and the end of the campout to convince you that He cares about you and that there are some things that you can do to get back in right fellowship with Him so that you understand He loves you and He cares about you and He wants to use you in the best and most wonderful way possible. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to stand before Him. You have to be willing to serve Him. But then the Bible says this. The next one is this. Let me make sure I get the wording right. I think I have it here. We are then to be ministers unto Him. So number one, we're supposed to stand before Him. Number two, we're supposed to serve Him. Number three, it says that ye should minister unto Him. Now, to minister unto someone is a little bit different. It's kind of the same idea as serving. But see, if I'm serving God, what I'm doing right now, get this, just listen real quick. I am serving God by driving up to Jackson, Michigan and preaching the Word of God. Who am I serving tonight? Well, I'm serving God, but I'm also serving you in a way. So my service most of the time has to do with me and my fellow man, you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. But to minister unto God means this. It means that you are willing to take care of the needs of God Himself. I looked up the word minister. It means this, to attend to the needs of someone. Now, God, let me just try to be clear when I preach this. God does not need you in the sense that he doesn't need you to do anything for him. All right. The Bible says this. God said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because I own everything. I have all the food I could want. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. God doesn't need us like a child needs his parents. But do you think about it tonight? God does need you. Because there's a verse in the Bible that says, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap, and I found none. You know what that tells me? It tells me God needed someone to stand in that gap and that there was no one there. It tells me that if you do not surrender your life to God to do what he wants you to do, that there's going to be a group of people maybe years down the road that does not get what they need from God because you were supposed to give it to them. Brother Donald, remember Brother Matt Williams preaching? He got away from God as a teenager, right out of high school. He was raised in church, raised in my wife's home church, as a matter of fact. And afterwards, he just kind of gave up for a while and lived several years away from God. Finally got right with God, went to a Bible college, graduated, and ended up as a youth pastor, now is pastoring in the state of Washington. You know what his biggest regret is to this day? This is what he told us. He said, my biggest regret is that there were teenagers in my youth group that I should have been ministering to 4 or 5 years earlier, but because I got away from God, they didn't have me there when I needed them. He said that in tears. I don't want you to get to a certain point in your life and go, man, I regret the fact that I was not yielded to God because of what I didn't do for him. There is damage that's now done. That's good. Amen. God needs you. God needs you. Then it says this, the last thing that it says, God has chosen us. The Lord has chosen us to stand before him. The Lord has chosen us to serve him. The Lord has chosen you to minister unto him. And then it says to burn incense. What does that mean? Burning incense in the Old Testament was a form of their worship. So God has chosen you to worship him. What is worship tonight? Here's a simple definition. We won't be able to get into it too much. Worship is this. It's the outpouring of a grateful heart to God. It just means that you're so thankful to God for what he did, for what he's done, not just for what he's done, but for who he is, that the gratefulness in your life overflows and you cannot help but worship God. Worshiping does not always manifest itself in raising your hands, all that. I know somebody said, well, the Bible says to lift up holy hands. That means that you lift them up and say, God, they're clean. It doesn't mean that they're in the air and that we're waving and that we're rocking out to a beat somewhere. But it just does mean that you're so grateful and thankful to God that your life is a life of worship. You can worship God by serving Him. You can worship God by sacrificing to Him. You can worship God right here in this camp out. You can worship God in song, but it's not limited to song. So we are chosen to do four things. It says we're chosen to stand before Him, to serve Him, and to minister unto Him, and to burn incense. And now I want you to see this. Look what happened after Hezekiah stop talking. Follow along. Get your Bibles open. Help me as we finish tonight. We're almost done. It says, they gathered in verse 15. Look at verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came, according to the commandment of the king, by the word of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. So what happened? They stood. God said, I've chosen you to stand before me. So a bunch of people just said, all right, God, here we are. And they cleansed themselves and they got ready to go to work and they got into the house of God. And when they opened up the doors of the house of God, it was nasty in there. How many of you have ever seen a nasty baptistry? The water just got green. Ours gets like that every once in a while if we don't clean it. I know that's nasty to think about, but one time we were baptizing a girl. She was a teenage girl and she was about to get in and she just went, There was a spider like that big around as a water spider, and there is nasty, and you can barely see the bottom of it, the bottom of the baptistry. I'm telling you this, and this is terrible. We need to work on it. We're actually working on it right now. But it's an old baptistry. I mean, it's literally been in our church since before I was born. That's how old it is. And the bottom of it is cracked. But it's like when a BB hits a car windshield, it just kind of goes like that. So it looks like there's about 20 or 30 spiders at the bottom of the baptistry all the time. Well, here's the thing. That is nothing compared to what these people walked into. You think that's nasty? They walked into the house of God, and the Bible says this, verse 16, the priests went to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord. They got rid of all of the filthiness in the house of God. We always tend to make an application here about church. Let me make that application for a moment, then I'm going to get to what I think is a more appropriate application biblically. You ought to be willing to serve in your church. So, well, I'll serve God, but I don't have to go to church. Those two things do not work. You cannot say that I'm going to serve God with my life and then not come to church. Can't do it. It's impossible, Brother Donald. And guess what? I have teenagers just like you that probably you wish would be more faithful. And that's part of what this campout is about, by the way. Let me be clear. Look this way real quick. We'll look back down at the Bible in a minute. Part of this campout is about convincing you to be more faithful to the house of God and to be a servant at the house of God. But the Bible says this in the New Testament. What know ye not that your bodies are the temple? We got to clean our lives out. My body is a temple. It's a place where Jesus lives within. And sometimes our temple, our body, I'm going to cover up that microphone there, I'm sorry. Our body gets spiritually unclean. You know what I'm talking about? I'm here to tell you tonight that there are times in my life where I have to come to God and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. Like the song says, and based on the psalm. So what we have to do, we have to be willing to stand before Him. And as we stand before Him, we also end up serving Him, first of all, by getting the wrong out of our lives. Serving, we kind of think, well, yeah, someday I'm going to be a pastor's wife, ladies, or a youth pastor or a pastor. And you think, like, that's the position that you're going to shoot for. Can I tell you that most of the time, serving God involves a broom, a brush, a vacuum cleaner, a lawnmower. So as we serve God, we cleanse our bodies, then we lower ourselves in whatever capacity we need to do just to serve God in whatever He wants. Look, if you say, well, I'm not going to do that, someone else can do that, then you're not a servant of God. So what happened when after He got done talking? First there was standing, then there was serving, and at the same time they were ministering unto the Lord. And they found all of the uncleanness and they got it out, and the Bible says they sanctified it, and they went into Hezekiah the king, and they said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, verse 18, with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. They were back in business. They were ready to go. So there was standing, there was serving, then there was sacrifice. After they got everything cleaned up, look down in verse 21. They brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams. They offered them on the altar of the Lord. The Bible goes on to talk about what they killed, all of the animals. Let me be clear about the sacrifices tonight. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, sacrificed Himself. But we do get to live our lives a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we get to sacrifice, yet we get to keep our lives. I'm kind of glad about that. I don't want to die. What if they had human sacrifices? That'd be weird. I would be the first one to go. I can't run fast. You know, I'm skinny, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, take him, take Steve, you know, he's out of here. We don't have to do that. We get to be living sacrifices. We get to go through our lives saying, God, what do you want me to give back to you today? What do you want me to do? And by the way, they could not sacrifice until they were cleansed. They could not sacrifice until they were cleansed. And after they got clean, and after they began to sacrifice and give back to God what they were supposed to be giving to Him, then it says this, look at verse 27, this is exciting. Verse 25, I'm sorry. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries, with the harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David the king of Israel. Here's what happened. When they got right with God, they started singing. You guys sang awesome tonight. But if you're right with God, there's going to be a song in your heart. The song's going to raise. You know what I'd love to hear? I'd love for the people all the way, the furthest people all the way that way that we can't even see, and all the people who are up by the church right now, and all the people, the neighbor, I'd like for the prison down there to hear us to be able to sing tonight. Right. By the end of this week, we ought to be singing so much because our lives are right. Not because we have such great voices, but because our lives are right before God. Singing is all it is. It's an emotion of the heart. It's something that comes out. It's part of worship. It's why it fits in with worship so well. It's because it's an overflow of gratefulness from our heart, and we just can't stop it. You say, well, I don't have a good voice, Pastor Stephen. That's okay. Sing anyway. Softly, but sing. You know? Make a joyful noise. And you don't have to sing softly. I'm only joking about that. Make a joyful noise. There was singing. Then this. Verse 28. All the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpet sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. You know what's really hard to do when you're not right with God? You know what's really difficult to do? It's difficult to bow our heads and worship. It's really difficult. If you're not where you need to be with God tonight, listen, please. If you're not where you need to be with God tonight, I can probably guess that you struggle praying. I know, I'm telling them this because I know it from personal experience. When I'm not right with God, it's hard for me to go like this for very long. I can't pray very long. But when everything was right, when they got their stand right, when they started serving, when they got their sacrifice, and when they started singing again, their spirit was restored too. What's your spirit? Your spirit's your prevailing attitude. And what happened was now people were like, yeah, I want to go to church. Hey, I want to go sing. I want to be part of that. Man, that sounds exciting because I don't know why, it's just like there's a burden that's lifted off of me, and now I can sing and I can worship, and you have this big, man. Why? Not because God did something right, but because you got right with Him. God's always been right. You say, well, Pastor Stephen, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't have to understand it. I probably don't understand it. But I know that the same God who heals every wound of every other individual out there who's willing to let Him is willing to heal the wounds of any teenager in this pavilion tonight. To where you can say, it's good to be at church now. It's good to be with God's people. It's good to do what I knew I should have been doing all along. You know what happens when things aren't right? The things you know you're supposed to be doing, you don't feel right about it. You know you're supposed to do it. You just go, oh, I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just kind of like a grumbling in your heart. Like on the inside, on the outside, you're like, hey, everybody, I'm at church, I'm doing okay. But on the inside, you're just going, that's very pretty, isn't it? Yeah, not really, but that's what we look like on the inside. Their spirit was restored. And then this, all because they just decided to do what God had chosen them to do. Then we find this. And Hezekiah, verse 36, rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people. All of a sudden, they were sanctified again. They were set apart. They were ready to serve Him even more. And then this tonight, and we're almost done. Look at verse 36. The last part of the verse says, for the thing was done, what's that next word?
Suddenly.
The thing was done suddenly. Go back with me and look at verse 11. Here's what it says. My sons, be not now negligent. So at the beginning of all this, get this, remember, it's the first year, and it's the first month of Hezekiah's reign. And he comes to the people and says, the first thing we've got to do is get right before God so that God can do so much more with us. And they got everything right. They understood God's chosen us to stand before Him, to serve Him, to minister unto Him, to worship Him. God chose us to do this. God wants us to do this. He wants to help us do all this. And everything got done. They got their spirit back. They got their song back. They got their stand back. They got their sanctification back. They were now all of a sudden a revived people, and Hezekiah rejoiced at the end of the chapter. Why? Because the thing had been done suddenly. He said, be not now negligent. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait another minute. Don't put it on hold. Don't say I'll do it tomorrow. Don't say I'll do it next week. Don't say I'll do it when my friends are gone so they can't see me so I'm not embarrassed. Do it now. Be not now negligent. Don't wait. And at the end, you know what Hezekiah looked back and said? He said, wow, they didn't. They didn't wait. They weren't negligent. They listened to me. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you tonight, do not wait. Be not now negligent. Don't put it off till Tuesday morning of the camp out. Don't put it off till Wednesday night of the camp out. Don't wait another minute. Don't put it on hold. Don't say, I'll deal with it later. Right now, and at the end of this camp out, we're going to be able to look back after 3 days, and I guarantee you, if you do right, and if you respond to God tonight, and if you give God your life tonight, you know what we're going to do, Brother Donald? We're going to rejoice because of the change that's made in your life, and maybe even my life, and maybe Brother Donald's life, and maybe all the workers' lives by the end of this week. It was done in just 3 days. You think God can do something in 3 days? I think He can. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think He could. We're not here today just to have fun. We will have a lot of fun. I like fun. But we are here to see God do something, and He wants to do it starting right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Be not now negligent. Whatever it is you've got to deal with in your life, listen, young people, just listen carefully. Whatever it is that you've got to deal with in your life, why are you deciding right now in your heart that you're going to wait? You say, I'm not going to deal with that right now. Why are you waiting? If you wait any longer to deal with this, you may not have an opportunity to. See, what are you trying to say, Pastor Stephen? I'm not trying to say anything because I don't know what God's timing is, but I do know this, that we have a short time here on this earth. And I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. The first day, or the first month of the first year of His reign. How about the first night, the first service, the first day of camp out? Are you saved tonight? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? If not, this is the night for you to decide that you're going to receive Him. Are you surrendered to Him? Maybe one of you or more of you have just been telling God, you know what, no, I'm not doing that. I know that that's probably what you want me to do, but God, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Well, you're not standing before Him. You're not making yourself available. Why not? Today. What about serving? How active are you in serving in your church? How active are you in ministering unto the Lord? The next point. God, whatever you need, because He does need you. And if you don't do what you're called to do, someone is not going to hear the gospel. Someone's not going to have their life changed because God wanted to use you to do it, but you weren't there. And then worshiping God. Are you even thankful tonight that God saved you? Think about that tonight. Are you thankful? If you are, would you worship Him tonight? Would you just say, God, I'm so thankful. I just want to tell You that I can't believe that You would come down and pay for my sin on a cross. I can't believe that You would bring me to this camp out. I couldn't believe that You would do for me what You've done for me because I don't deserve it. You need to get your singing, your spirit back. You need to get your stand back. You need to get all these things back. You can do it if you just do what God designed you to do in the first place. Stand before Him, serve Him, minister unto Him, and worship Him. It's not my formula, it's God's.